Double Game Week 33 is over, but there's a blank ahead. We reflect on all being in the 100 Club. Jules discusses his chip-free team for this week, and Sam and I run through our free hits, and both of us are banking on Spurs. Deep breath. We did it. I tell you what, I actually quite enjoyed Double Game Week 33. I get so nervous before them, but Double Game Week's always good fun, isn't it? Especially if you played a chip. We all played a chip. First confession from me, though, of the podcast. Sam, what did I think I'd done on Saturday morning?
Text me in a panic going, Sam, is there a way to check whether I actually activated my chip now that the game's reloading?
Oh my, you're such a liability.
Five past 11, I was in Tesco and I was like, oh, I don't, like, I was so set on my team. Like the night before, and then I just didn't check it in the morning, which I never do. I ignored my alarm because I was in Tesco paying for my food shop. And then as I left, I was like, oh my gosh. And then I was panicking, but at 12:20 or whatever when the game updated, bam, I saw that I had done it. And I could tell, Jules, that Sam was getting a little bit excited that maybe I hadn't activated it because she saw that as her way in to overtake me.
Yeah, no, what did I say to definitely. You, Kels? I was like, you'll definitely have done it. This will just be a moment of stress because then you, but then you caused me to second guess myself. And I was like, did I put the captaincy on the right person? But we'd all done it. And actually, in the end, Kels, I kind of wished I hadn't played my bench boost because it didn't really bring me that many points. Mm. Like, it'd be better off if I'd forgotten to activate it.
But, yeah, it wasn't the greatest, was it? I mean, it wasn't the greatest. It wasn't the worst. But we did all manage to remember to activate our chips. Jules did his free hits. Myself and Sam did our bench boosts. And I'm going to just tell you very quickly, all of us are in the 100 Club. We're all, like, we shouldn't really complain. We've all got green arrows this week. But because we're recording actually on a Wednesday night, literally around an hour after the two games played this evening have finished, the game is still completely updating. So bonus points and things could change, couldn't they, Sam? But this is where we're at the moment. Jules was a little bit confused by this, as was I. But this is kind of quite normal, isn't it? Because they're still, what is happening at this point?
Yeah, so the bonus point system updates because as things get seen in the game, past completions get added and taken away and all of that stuff, say if they find extra ones or defensive contributions, all that kind of stuff, all of it adds into the bonus point system because as we know, the bonus points are worked out by a whole system of different metrics. So in the aftermath of the game, well, we all go, well, that's that. I've enjoyed that football match. Thank you very much. And then I'll move on. Everyone else behind the scenes kind of spends a load of time working out and making sure that everything is right before the game closes. And of course, this is the final closing of the game week. So we should hopefully during this podcast see it close. But at the minute, we've just seen Haaland lose some bonus points, which has been a bit of a frustration.
Yeah, frustrating for us as we did all captain him, but he still had a pretty good game week, didn't he? Probably even more frustrating if you did triple captain him. Let's talk about our game week as it was then before we go on to talk about blank game week 34, because that's another huge game week. So I'm fuming about this. For so much of the game week, I was actually beating Jules for once, but no. The game updated and put me back in my right place.
What are you fuming for?
You got to take the small wins when you can, Jules. I thought I was getting one. Talk me through your game week. Also, it was just a free hit. Like, I had a bench boost active. I had more players.
I know. But the free hit worked well because obviously you could bring all, you know, all the players that you wanted. Like I said in the last show, I was not even interested in the single game players or whatever you call it.
Apart from two.
Although some of them would have been better than
Palmer. Didn't turn
up. Completely, yeah. But as you know, I was not at all interested. And it was good fun, to be fair. The vibes were great on the team. Cole Palmer is the disappointment, really. I left Tavernier on the bench, but I don't really have... I would not have started him anyway. But as I always tell you, how many times this season have I told you and I've told everybody listening and watching that you need a strong bench every single time because you never know somebody you think is going to play and is not playing. So once again, my bench was strong. My bench was ready to step in if somebody could not play. And our friend Joao Pedro clearly didn't want to get involved with Liam Rossini and Chelsea anymore. So he said, you know what? I don't fancy those two games. I'm not going to be in. I'm not going to play. Thank God I had Van Heek on the bench just ready. He was just there ready, waiting, ready. And that worked a treat.
A treat. Yes. Okay. Jules, just quickly, just talk us through. Actually, we don't care what your free hit was because you've got rid of them all now going into the blank game. We can get back to your old team. How did Gomez do for you?
I mean, yeah. I mean, to be fair, I jinxed him, the poor guy. He got injured after, 15 minutes or so. I hope it's not too serious. I haven't seen because he obviously has a World Cup coming up too with his country. So I'm sorry I've picked you as my differential and you were actually an under differential. And I feel really, really bad for that. But I still had 120-ish points, so I was very happy.
Sam, I think you've written the same thing for both of us in the script, and I agree. Joao Pedro and Gabriel blanking on a bench boost was very frustrating. Sums it up.
That was the most polite way I could think to write it. It's really annoying, isn't it? And with Gabriel, I said this on Off the Bench this week, I kind of feel quite fortunate that he didn't get worse than zero, because at one point I thought he was going to get sent off. Yeah. And I thought, oh gosh, if you get sent off and get me minus one on a bench boost, I will be furious. Joao Pedro was just an annoyance because I didn't fancy Chelsea at all across the double game week, but I had him. That decision 3 weeks ago to sell Kroupi Jr. for Joao Pedro just gets worse and worse every single week because Kroupi just keeps scoring goals now. And yeah, it was really annoying. Having said all of that, there were some really good decisions in my team this week, like bringing in Bujol and Pascal Gross, both of them working really, really well. Gross with a 16-pointer was just phenomenal. In fact, he should have been my captain. He was my highest scoring player across the double game week. So I was really pleased with him. I played Van Heek. I mean, I didn't bench him and then get lucky having him come off the bench. I trusted him to be good all the way through, and he was. So that was good. Semenyo, a bit of a disappointment as well. I think he has to go down as that, going off early, especially in the Burnley game. I did think he was going to get an assist, though, when Haaland popped it. I don't quite know how he didn't score from the Semenyo assist. So it was a decent week. About 114, I think I'm going to land up on. It looked a lot better at one point because Senesi was on for a clean sheet and an assist and 3 bonus points. And then I thought he got another assist when Evan Nilsson's goal got chalked off and it didn't count. And then he had one off the post. Could have been an absolute Senesi masterclass, but it wasn't to be. But we'll still take the 100 club, and it's a really nice big green arrow. So very, very happy with that. It's up about, I think, about 400K in places over the course of this week. So that's a good chunk of rank gone now.
Yeah, for me, I was up inside the top 400K at one point. I'm about 450K. I finished on 118. Pretty happy. The only thing, and this is wild because goalkeepers often don't bring you that much luck. The only thing that really was good about my bench boost was having 2 goalkeepers. I think really Inverbruggen was on my bench. So yeah, but really frustrating when I would have had James Hill. Although, Sam, I'm surprised you didn't mention the frustration of James Hill as well, because
I didn't have him.
Oh, of course, it's Lee that has him.
It's Lee that has him.
And me.
It's not me. He was not happy. The other half of FPL family was not very happy with James Hill's.
He loves an own goal, doesn't he?
3 game weeks. Yeah.
It's a habit I'd rather he didn't make too often. But yeah, I mean, other than that, anyway, shouldn't complain. Into the 100 club, big rank rise, just about a success for all of our chips, I think we can say. And we will later in the pod check in to see if our scores have changed at all. But as it stands, that's how things are. And as it stands, this is how the FPL pod, even mini league, looks. Pedro Mesquini is still at the top. He also played bench boost, got 134 points for the week. He's also 9th in the world overall. Kim Lambart's his 2nd. Kim used her bench boost chip this week, registering 128 points. Henry is going into 3rd now. He's been level on points with Kim at the end of the last game week. He also played his bench boost, registering 112 points. He's 16 points behind Kim. The big difference, though, was that Henry went bold, captained Palmer, whereas Kim and Pedro, as well as the FPL pod mini league top 40 managers, all captained Haaland, Oli Watabi, Ajayi and Matt Marshall in 4th and 5th respectively. Both played their free hit chip this week and they got 104.5 and I can't talk, and 108 points respectively. Always good when that happens. XY6XPL is your code if you still haven't joined. Okay, so Sam, you did Off the Bench the other day, and so you kind of have reflected on the first games of the double game week, and it actually looked, didn't it, initially like the triple captain was the right chip to have played. And I feel like that changed quite a lot after these games. Like, I mean, the Haaland frustrations are going to be really big for the people that played that chip on him.
Yeah, and I think, you know, for the bench boosters coming out of the first 10 games, there was a lot of frustrations. There was a lot of, obviously, Dubravka got 0 for the managers that were holding him. Gabriel got 0 for the managers that were holding him. Joao Pedro hadn't turned up. Anthony Gordon hadn't turned up. So there was a lot of zeros flying around. And it did look like the triple captainers were going to be the big winners because, obviously, Haaland had got a goal against Arsenal and he was on for what looked like it was going to be a massive double game week haul, given it was Burnley up next. But actually, as we've seen the rest of the game week pan out, it hasn't quite ended up that way. So on average, the bench boosters have done better. So the average bench boost score was 105 points across this game week, with the triple captainers averaging around 91 points for the game week, and the free hitters that Jules was doing on average 100 points. So we've all outscored the average for the chip that we were playing, which is great. And the wild card is for those that were playing that, they averaged 92. So in the end, the triple captain, the worst of the chips on average to have played this week, which it didn't look like it was going to be.
My partner's just got in from being out in the evening and he played his triple captain. So quite glad that I'm not going to see him before. I mean, yeah, I think that's the least of his worries at the moment. But yeah, he's terrible, by the way. It's obviously in our family. I checked his team and he's got all of his chips left and wasn't set up at all.
He's learnt from you.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh no, he doesn't listen to me anymore. That's the problem. That is the problem, because I shouldn't admit on the podcast, should I, that my other half is really bad at FPL, because he should be good living with me, but he doesn't listen to me.
One season anyway, he had a really good one though, didn't he?
Yeah,
I remember
had a great
once.
Season, yeah.
Because he listened to me. No, he doesn't. Let's reflect on the final few games then. I'm desperate to talk about the blank game week, but I've been told I've got to talk about the final few games. Brighton 3, Chelsea 0. Now, this was pretty seismic, of course. We've since known that Liam Rossini has left his post as the Blues, Chelsea Blues boss, I should say. But this is all about the Brighton assets, I think. Other than the fact that Joao Pedro and Cole Palmer didn't feature for Chelsea, a big FPL talking point, of course. But in terms of Brighton assets, Jules, they were kind of big on bench boost, free hit, wild card. When I wild carded last week, I was big on them. And the big two winners really were Pascal Gross and Jan-Paul Van Hek. I was always going to say that wrong.
Yeah, I mean, Sam mentioned earlier Gross, who was a differential, by the way. So I hope a lot of the listeners had believed her and brought in Gross like I did, to be fair. Always believe what Sam says. Always go with what Sam says, to be fair. Gross was a 16 point, and to be fair, I thought he could easily have had a few more to like pretty much all of those Brighton players, because I thought at times they were a little bit unlucky against Spurs in their first game of this double game week. Not so much on the result, but certainly in some of the chances that they created against Chelsea could easily have been 4 or 5, if not 6, and not just 3, because they were outstanding, especially in the first half. Even with Welbeck on the bench, he came on, and off the bench and scored. Ferdi was outstanding. Van Hek and all the defense, Verbruggen, Boscagli, all of them were great. Inchelwood, that Kelly, you moaned on in our WhatsApp group to have put in your team. Actually, you were very happy about what he did.
I celebrated that goal. I was at PLP presenting it, and I celebrated that goal like my own team, Watford, who were losing 3-0 at the time away at West Brom. I celebrated as if Watford had just scored, and everyone was like, why are you celebrating that? I was like, it was a weird FPL decision for me, but it paid off.
And to be fair, over the two games, just to finish on Brighton, whoever you had from Brighton, whatever asset, they pretty much all return at some point with a goal, with an assist, with a clean sheet, with Defcons, everybody from the goalkeeper to even a few of the forwards, Mitoma, Minte, Reuter, Welbeck, all of them at some point got something for you. So it was very good if you were a Brighton asset owner.
Yeah, that was actually a big reason when I wildcarded before this game week. I didn't really want to wildcard because I didn't want to get rid of some of the big players that I was having to make way. But I actually didn't mind bringing Brighton players. And watching that game, I know Chelsea were really poor, but Brighton were brilliant. They've got nice fixtures. And actually, Sam, now, if you have brought them in, there's quite a few holds there, particularly for the two players I mentioned. I don't know what you're planning on doing with Gross.
Yeah, Gross and Van Hek, I'm probably just going to hold them both now. Mm. Like, they definitely don't feel like priority sales. I think, you know, that the race for European slots at the top of the Premier League is really highing up now, and Brighton are right in the thick of it. So I'm kind of keen to keep hold of him. I think Pascal Gross's route to points is just great. He creates so many chances for that Brighton team. And as Jules said, they're all on fire at the minute. They're scoring goals for fun. And I think, you know, we can regularly see him picking up the additional points as well. Plus he's on set pieces, which is also nice because it gives you that additional route to points. So he feels like a hold. And the great thing about Van Hek is that if there is the odd game here and there that you don't want to play him for between now and game week 38, he's very easy to bench because there's plenty of other options that you can go to because he's nice and cheap. So for me, I'm just holding, and I would recommend holding any Brighton asset that you have. The Chelsea ones, you can probably sell them, but the Brighton ones definitely hold.
The good thing with Chelsea is that obviously they've changed their manager, as I said. We've got the FA Cup now to kind of assess, because they've got a lot to play for in the leagues still. I mean, I know it looks Champions League looks a long shot, but Jules, it kind of is worth watching at the weekend, isn't it? To see what Callum McFarlane does with them and if there could be a little bit of a manager bounce potentially.
Yeah, completely. I mean, remember his only game in charge this season, because he was there in between Maresca and Rossini, was that 1-1 draw where at City, where they actually did quite well. So let's see what he does in the FA Cup. And then after that, we know he will have between now and the end of the season. There might be a bit of a bounce with him back on the bench. Let's see what happens with Palmer fitness-wise and Joao Pedro fitness-wise, if they play at the weekend on Sunday or not, for example, in the FA Cup. And then we can decide what we want to do with them if you own them, for example. But right now, I know Chelsea look like not really, you don't want to go there, you don't want to invest there, which is completely understandable. But that could also change a bit quickly.
Yeah, I could indeed. Okay, watch this space with that one. We will, of course, be back next week to discuss all of the Premier League, but also we'll discuss, I'm sure, what happens in those FA Cup semi-finals that are taking place this weekend. A Burnley 0, Manchester City 1 does mean that Manchester City are top. I think it's for the first time in 208 days where Arsenal have been at the summit. Jules won't want to comment on that. Burnley also relegated now, that means. Sam, firstly, frustration, as we've said, for Haaland owners, but let's not forget, he did still have a good double game week, really.
Yeah. And I think, look, if you'd have said coming out of it that your captain was going to get 26 points across the double game week, you'd been happy with that. Like, that's a decent return.
It's because it's Haaland, we're not happy.
Yeah. Well, I think we're also not happy because the majority of those points came against Arsenal. And then we knew the second game was against Burnley. So when he got the points against Arsenal, everyone was kind of like, well, that's great. We've got them. They felt almost like a bit of a bonus to have those in the bag, because we were looking at the Burnley game and going, well, that is the game where, and as somebody that has Martin Dubravka, I was thinking, oh, this could be a nightmare. Like, Dubravka could end up getting me minus points here. Like, that would be a disaster if I have a double game week goalkeeper who gets naught against Nottingham Forest and then minus points against Manchester City. So yeah, I think all in all, it's a bit frustrating that he's lost a couple of bonus points so far today, but a couple of goals across the double game week, bonus points in each of the games, 26 points for a captain is a decent return.
Semenyo was frustrating. Jules, you went with Shirky, didn't you, instead?
Yeah. To be fair, I really hesitated between the two. It was either going with Shirky because my gut feeling was saying that he's the key now in this team.
Not and just
to
because be fair, he's French.
Being French, he's not from Paris, though.
You know.
But Semenyo, I almost went there because everybody owned him, basically. And I didn't want to miss out in case he was going to score or do something. And it was more by fear than anything else. In the end, I'm glad I went with Shirky. I don't know how he didn't get anything in that Burnley game because he created so much. He gave that amazing ball to O'Reilly at the end that could have made me even more happy, because that would have been more points for O'Reilly and more for Ryan too. But I still felt with Semenyo, and we said it, that his form wasn't really there. He was not performing well. We knew he would start and we would play because he plays in this team and it works for the team. But individually, he was not really at his best. He hasn't been good for a long time now. And that worried me a little bit. So despite the high ownership that he had, I thought it made more sense to go with Shirky.
Who's the better option then going forward? Is it still Shirky? Jules, do you still stand by what you've said about Semenyo being out of form?
Yeah, completely. If you don't have either, if you have Semenyo, keep him. There's no point. But if you don't have either of them and you want to invest more in City and you still have a slot for a City player, I would go for Shirky every day ahead of Semenyo.
Anything else you want to add, Sam, on Man City or Burnley?
Dubravka picked up 8 saves in this one. Got 4 points for this game, which felt like a massive win, to be honest. 4 points out of a goalkeeper that was on naught after the first game against Forest. And that was the one I was hoping that he might get something in. But yeah, 8 saves, that's a really impressive return from him. So I think that's the kind of key thing. O'Reilly was great. We didn't need to worry about it, whether he was fine or not. It was maybe a bit frustrating not to get a bit more out of Gahey across the double game week. I was expecting maybe some defensive contribution points out of him, which we never got. So I'm kind of looking at my 3 Manchester City assets and thinking, well, I'm not going to do anything about you because I don't have a wild card. And I know at some point you're going to have another double game week, but I do feel like I might be on the wrong 3. Not Haaland, obviously, but the other 2.
Yeah, I wish I'd been a bit bolder and gone with Shirky, that's for sure. Okay, then Bournemouth 2, Leeds 2. I wish I'd watched this game rather than the other game, because every time they were playing in the goals on this game, I was thinking, oh, I do want to turn over. Loads of people had assets in this game, and you can see why. I mean, defensive assets, I mean, James Hill, as we've already mentioned, how frustrating. But Sam, Senesi as well, so frustrating, could have been so much more.
Yeah, I was counting the Senesi points at one, and actually I texted you, didn't I? And I said, this is looking really good for me. I'm going to be, my rank looked really excellent. I was like, but the bonus points for Senesi have got to stick. And that game was so changeable. And then I thought he was getting another assist for the Evan Nilsson goal not long after we'd hit the post. And I was thinking, oh, you are points dodging here. And then in the end, he lost his bonus points altogether. And I was like, oh, from 3 to none. was very, very frustrating. I think he ended up beating James Hill across the double by 1 point. So if you have both of them, 5 and 6 is kind of fine. But yeah, as somebody that didn't have the double up of the Bournemouth defence, I was a little bit worried about Bournemouth clean sheet sticking because there were lots of Senesis and Hills or Hills and Petrovic's or Senesi and Petrovic's. So it felt like it was going to be damaging if the clean sheet stuck. So I was really hoping for individual returns for Senesi, but I was annoyed that he didn't get defensive contributions at all across this double game
week. Quite strange as well, isn't it?
What? Where's those 4 points that I thought I was guaranteed to get? Obviously, Hill did get them in both, but none for Senesi, which was very upsetting.
I noticed, Jules, that you went with your boy Aronson because you told him you were going with him.
Absolutely. He messaged me as well, which was really sweet. I mean, you're going to sit in the first game, nothing in the second. But you know when you get a notification that... I was not watching, to be fair, live the Leeds game. But every time something happened in the Leeds game, I was like, come on, please, please, Brendan, please. But I was happy with him. He got 7 points. It's really good.
Yeah, really good. And I think it was just really annoying in general, wasn't it? Well, I mean, we got our points from our Bournemouth players. I was delighted with Tavernier in the first game. Yeah. But yeah, just the Leeds defence was looking so good, wasn't it, after the first week. I think we brought Leeds defenders in for the first game of the double game week, didn't we, really? Also, a shout out for Ray in his first double-digit game week score in fantasy because he got an attacking return in both of his double game week 33 appearances with a goal and an assist. Just over 37,000 managers have brought him in ahead of his two matches. We talked before about maybe we'd missed his little purple patch. Maybe he could be about to have another one. Okay, finally, I think I can talk about blank gaming 34. Yes, another big chip week. Guys, you got to let me enjoy these weeks. I don't play any chips until the end of the season, so it's always really exciting. A third chip in a row being played. I'm going to be free hitting. Sam's going to be free hitting. Jules, you're not. Have you used all your chips now?
What are you doing, Jules?
I've got 10 players playing in this blank game week. So I've got 2 free transfers as well. The only position where I don't have a player right now playing is goalkeeper. So I can easily transfer either Dubravka or Petrovic for somebody who's going to play. I don't know who yet, but I was happy with those 10 plus one of the goalkeepers to go. And I can even use the other free transfer to go after a player that I don't have right now, but has a good fixture in the ones that are playing this weekend. So I think I'm in a good position. I think the free hit would be fun. It could be really fun too. But I just felt the free hit for a double game week was even more fun, or even going to be even more fun than for the blank game week.
Okay. So just talk us through who your 10 players are.
I've got back 4, which is not too bad, to be fair. Tarkowski against West Ham, Cash against Fulham, Gabriel against Newcastle, and Malik Cho. So Cho will have Arsenal, obviously, away, which is not great. Then Cunha and Bruno, we're back in the team. Szoboszlai at home to Palace. Anthony Gordon, who, as we said, has a little injury. And again, it's Arsenal away. And Harry Wilson. And then right now, I only have Igor Thiago up front with Brentford away at United. So it's not too bad. And I've got the free transfers that I mentioned.
Okay. So you're just going to use one, or do you think you might use more?
One for sure, to have a goalkeeper that's playing. Somebody, I don't know exactly who I could go for. Maybe Martinez. I like the idea of Martinez, maybe, because I fancy that fixture for Villa. But it could be, I don't know. But the second transfer, I'm not sure if I would use it. I'm pretty happy with the team, unless I go for a second forward and not play with just one up front, basically.
Okay. So Sam, free hits. Oh, no, actually, no, before we move on to our free, I'm desperate. No, just how many players? So Jules has got 10 there. How many players do you think managers need this game week?
I think 10 is okay. I was just listening to Jules thinking, do I think he's got the right 10? Because I think it's more that than how many you've got. Because the reality is there are certain players that I think you just have to have. Like, if you don't have Bruno Fernandes this week, either get him or go and hide behind a very large sofa, because I think that could be painful. I think obviously Gabriel is very highly owned, but again, he's another one that if you've sold Gabriel over the last few weeks because you wanted to get through the last few weeks, get him back again. Make sure you have him. I think Virgil van Dijk feels like a very important own this week. He's one that Jules didn't have, and I was thinking, well, I think I'd want him. There will be some really popular picks. I think there will be a very template wildcard spine, free hit spine rather, that will have players like Gabriel and Bruno and Virgil, and then it will have Salah, and then there'll be a lot of round the edge picks. And I think there'll be a lot of managers. In fact, Kels, I'm really interested by your forward line because I think a lot of managers on a free hit will play against Thiago, which could be...
I had him in one and I got rid.
Yeah, I'm backwards and forwards on him all the time because it's one of those that I don't like taking out somebody who plays.
Yeah, the difference like, is why I don't have him. So it's, yeah, it feels a bit different for me.
Whereas I still own him. So I like he's the one player that I'm losing from my team that I kind of feel like, oh, he could really punish me. But I think it's more so than how many you have, it's do you have the right ones? Like if you don't have a goalkeeper, I really don't think that's the end of the world. They hardly ever keep clean sheets anymore, it seems like in the Premier League. It's become very high scoring again. So it's not the end of the world. But I think if you have got some of the key players that are playing this week and the ones that the free hitters are targeting, probably the right time to make moves for them. But 9 or 10, I think is okay.
How many Spurs players have you got in yours?
2.
Come on. Hey!
Sam, at one point I felt a bit weird, so I've just got one.
I at one point had 3 and then I thought, what is happening here? This is ridiculous. So I've gone down to 2. But now everyone I talk to goes, but I've got 3. And I go, okay. I watched them a lot. I don't know if I could find 3.
Okay. I'm just trying to get my most recent draft up. There's a few players, right? Sam, do you want to go through yours first? And then I'll say mine after.
Why? Because you want to copy them?
Of course you do.
I'm above you at the moment, thank you.
Yeah, but you want to stay there, right? So you're going to block
it. I'm not going to copy. I'll be honest and tell you my... I'll tell you my... Because this isn't my final draft. I know it isn't. There's still... I've got... Like you said, I've got a spine and then it's... There's like 2 or 3 positions where I'm like, oh, I don't know. And I'll tell you which ones they are. So you go.
So I've got Raya in goal currently for the double up of the Arsenal defence. my bench goalkeeper is Woodman from Liverpool because, you know, cheap. And it allows me to put all the money in the starting 11. So that feels like a bit of a no-brainer. It's basically like picking a Dalo or a Dubravka, except has a fixture this week. Back three of, here comes the first Spurs player in Pedro Porro. Mm-hmm. Not the normal defender of choice for me, but alas, the best one on the pitch the other day when I was at watching the Brighton game. So Pedro Porro, Virgil van Dijk and Gabriel. You got 3 of them?
Got 3 of them.
Yeah. And then on the bench, I've got Ronaldo and currently Van de Ven. If I don't choose, actually, I have got 3 Spurs players because I've got a cheap one on the bench as well. I'm not expecting to need my bench, but I'm just trying to make the budget work for the midfield. And then into midfield, I'm currently playing 5 across the midfield, but I might yet switch this around and play 4 in midfield and 3 up top. Mm-hmm. So I've got Bruno Fernandes. Second Spurs asset is Xavi. And then in comes Mo Salah for a final hurrah because, you know, of course.
He's doing so well as well.
The last couple of weeks, Jules, we're finding some form with Mo Salah. So do you know what? At the minute in my bus team, he's got the captain's armband because I'm thinking about going really bold and playing against Bruno, but we'll talk about that later. But no, I've currently got Morgan Gibbs-White there, but that would be the spot that I would change out.
I had him
3 up top.
I had him until about 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, that's the spot where I'm pondering on taking some money out of him in order to upgrade to playing 3 forwards because there are 3 forwards that I think could be really, really great this week. I just need to decide whether I want to change the formation. And then because I apparently love this man more than life itself, I've still got Morgan Rodgers because I just can't seem to take him out at the minute. Like every time I look to sell him, he goes and returns returns, you know, regularly for me and came back. Got 9, didn't he, again this week? So Morgan Rodgers stays. And then up top, I've currently got Watkins and Bowen.
Okay.
But I would like to have Watkins, Bowen, and maybe Dom Solanke alongside, or maybe I stay safe and get Thiago alongside. I haven't quite decided on that third forward slot, but that feels better than the 5 across the midfield. So what I might do is go Gibbs-White down to Casemiro and then use that money to upgrade. Or I could even go down as far as Max Dalman. Because I'm not planning to need to use my third sub. Max Dalman is the cheapest player this week. And I'm not planning to use my 3 Arsenal slots. So maybe I go down to Dalman and then up from there.
Okay, so ours are very similar. I've got David Raya. I've got Hermansen on the bench at the moment. But I do need a point 2 or 3, I think, to sort out my midfield. So I think I could go down to a non-playing goalkeeper. It's a bit of a no-brainer.
We'll just get Woodman. He's 3.9.
Yeah, and that would save me how much
Allison
time.
And
yeah, point. Okay, so I'm going to do that, let's be honest. But there is a third other Liverpool. I've already got two other Liverpool assets in my team. Anyway, I'll go through. So as it stands, I've got a back four, but it won't be a back four. Gabriel, Virgil, Porro. I've got Mavropanos in there. Because
West Ham.
he's just been in good form.
So attacking, yeah.
But I fancy Everton to score against them. So yeah, I don't really want to play a back four. If you're going for a free hit, you want to go all out attack, really, don't you? So I have got Mohamed Salah. I've got Bruno Fernandes. I've also got Xavi. But he was Morgan Gibbs-White until just before this podcast. And I really want Morgan Gibbs-White. And if he had the home fixture, I would probably go there. I can't work out if I'm being lulled into his big points last week. I'm not sure, but he's been brilliant
as
well.
Biggest ever FPL return for him last week.
And Mateus Cunha is the other one. And then I've currently got Harry Wilson on my bench. But Harry Wilson will become, because I think his form is slightly gone, Harry Wilson could go back to Morgan Gibbs-White. I'm interested in Cody Gakpo, but my interest has dwindled as the week has gone on because I've already got my Salah.
Why are you interested in Cody
Gakpo? I mean, Salah.
You'd have to Bosley over Gakpo.
Yeah, so that, but Harry Wilson will become someone else. I looked at Morgan Rodgers, but I just can't go there. I like Morgan Gibbs-White. So yeah, that Harry Wilson will become someone else, but I think my other four is pretty much set. And then my front two is the same as yours, Watkins and Bowen.
I think Watkins is the one. Watkins is the one. If you don't have him, the form is better. The only thing that I worry a little bit with Watkins is the Europa League semi-final coming up against Forest. Because at
some
point,
that's why I don't want to double up as well with Rodgers and Watkins.
It's maybe more, not so much for this game week 34, but for the following one, 35, in between the two legs of the semi-final, which would be the same case for Arsenal players with Arsenal and Atletico Madrid, for example. It's similar, but maybe Arsenal need more points, need points more importantly, really, than Villa, who I think are okay to be top five anyway. But that's the only thing I worry a little bit with Rodgers and Watkins, even Gibbs-White to a certain extent. If Forest win this weekend at Sunderland, for example, which is possible on Friday, then they will almost be sure to stay up. Mm. And then in between the two semi-finals that they will play against Villa, you could easily see Vitor Pereira almost resting everybody, including Gibbs-White. So that's more
for
the week
after.
It's harder
for you, isn't it? Yeah, I think it's harder for people that aren't free hitting, because on a free hit, it's like, well, I can have Ollie Watkins for this week and then he's going to doodle off again. Whereas for you, if you bring him in and then he doesn't play the week after, especially if you're sacrificing somebody half decent up top to bring him in, that's difficult then,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I would really love to go bold and bring in like an Eze for Arsenal. They need to win. He's been brilliant in attack, but I just don't. Arsenal have been so cagey. I also looked at Declan Rice. I kind of want a third Arsenal, but I don't know. The slots feel so. I'll have the double defence, which means they're definitely going to concede. But yeah, is there anyone else you've toyed with, Sam?
There's a few that I've kind of been backwards and forwards with. If Beto was certain to play, I think he's really interesting.
I had Ndiaye in one of my drafts for quite a while, actually.
He's another one that I think is really interesting, because I do think that despite the fact that West Ham have kept clean sheets in three of the last six, I do think this is a difficult fixture. Everton have been really good and, you know, they were very unlucky not to get something out of the Merseyside derby at the weekend. And I think they'll go into this one knowing that if they can get 3 points out of it, it puts them massively in the hunt for European stuff again, because it's so tight in that part of the league. And I quite liked Beto because he has returned in his last three matches. He's got 32 points in the last three matches. So we're in a bit of a purple match, but we do need to be careful, because if he is out, which it looks like he might be because of this head injury, then it's going to be Barry that starts. And I don't like that as much. Like, I don't think I'd punt there, but I do like the Ndiaye pick because he's also on set pieces. So that feels nice. I like the idea of doubling up on Manchester United with Bruno and then having somebody like Cunha or Casemiro alongside. I think Sesko would be nice if we thought that he was going to get the start, but again, it feels too risky. Other players that I've kind of toyed with, I've been backwards and forwards on Spurs a lot. I've been backwards and forwards on Arsenal a lot. I've been backwards and forwards on Liverpool a lot. Salah and Virgil are locked. Do I want Szoboszlai back as well? Because honestly, when that goal went in late in the Merseyside derby, obviously my other half was going mental. But I was thinking 3 weeks ago in FPL, I would have celebrated that goal, because that was, I had Szoboszlai and Virgil, and the way that they play together is so nice. And I wonder if against a Crystal Palace side that are looking a little bit like, they are starting to really put their focus and their attention into Europe because they're not quite so attacking as they have been. Like, could we see clean sheets for Liverpool in that one? Possibly, although they do like a goal conceded. But that's kind of where I've been. Like, the Morgan Gibbs white spot, that is the one that I'm kind of like, I just don't know. Just don't know. That one feels a little bit unsure for me.
I also hate the idea that that game's on Friday night and if he doesn't return, I'll be so angry.
Yeah.
Like, that also comes into my thinking.
Yeah. It's the same with the captaincy, isn't it? It's like, don't go too early because it'll upset the rest of your weekend.
Yeah. Any names that you think we've missed there, Jules? If you could pick anyone?
No, I mean, you've said a million names. So really, for all the listeners, I apologize. I really apologize because it's more confusing than anything. No, I think your teams are very good or your drafts are very good. But really, if we're honest here, as bad as they've been all season, the team to target has to be Spurs, the way our Wolves were already done. And I know Wolves would want to finish well at home.
That's saying something if you're saying that.
But really, from Solanke to Xavi Simmons, who will be my differential? I'm just, you know, spoiler here.
Well, you probably are going second. So, you know, you'll have to see if I've picked him.
No,
I haven't
picked him.
I haven't. I'm not going for a Spurs player. Are you mad?
To a Pedro Porro, to maybe even Colomwani, because miracles can happen, as we know, and maybe finally he's going to score a goal.
That'd be nice.
But I think, I think Spurs are worth looking into, it, especially on a
free
hit.
Who would you go for on a free hit?
Would you get a Spurs player not on a free hit, though, Jules?
Mm.
So the one I would go for is Xavi Simmons, really. I think he's the only one, but he's the only one, if you're not on a free hit, that you could go for.
Probably quite expensive to get up from one of your chief defenders.
True.
And if he doesn't have an attacking return like he did against Brighton, which was great, also it's a big Verbruggen mistake, but still he was there defensively because Spurs concede a lot. It's not going to give you anything. So you have to bet on him being good going forward, which is usually either a cross or more surprisingly the header on that Brighton game. So I think Xavi Simmons, free hit or not, it could definitely be a must-have. The rest on a free hit, sure, go for it. You've got nothing to lose anywhere, like them. They've got a lot to lose.
I
know, that's what I mean. That was my joke, but it didn't really work as well as I thought it would work before.
Okay, let's just move on to differential of the week. I think we've covered that off. And we've also covered off the fact that Jules' differential last week was a disaster and Sam's was really good. So Sam, who have you got?
I'm so sorry, Gomez.
You jinxed him. And the best thing about it was, obviously, I was there and I thought, and I was like, who is that that's down? Oh, that's Jules' differential. And then when he had to go off, I was like, oh, bless him. That didn't look good either. Mm. But Grace did me really well. I can't pick a Spurs differential. I can't do it. I worry that I'll jinx us. So I'm going with somebody else. And it's going to be Casemiro from Manchester United. So he's only going to cost you 5.7 million. He's only owned by 3.5% of the game. And I feel like going into this week, Bruno Fernandes, just owning him won't be enough. He's going to be in every free hit draft. He is going to be in pretty much everybody's normal team as well, for those that are just playing through it without a free hit. And so actually, he's probably not really going to make a difference to you if you don't captain him this week or use the triple captain on him. So the best way, I think, to make him make sense is to double him up with another Manchester United attacker. Now, since Carrick took over in game week 22, Casemiro has scored 4 goals. Only Cesco has had more than that with 5. He's also had 6 big chances, which is the same as Mbeumo, which is the most at Manchester United. And he's picked up 6 DEFCON points in that period, which only Harry Maguire can better at Manchester United, as well as 6 bonus points. So I think as a fifth option midfielder, he feels like a really good option to allow you to have good budget across the rest of your free hit team. Because actually affording players like Salah and Gabriel and Virgil and Raya and Bruno all in one team, you're going to need somebody to enable that. And Casemiro could be that. Plus, if you're not free hitting, he feels like a player you could bring in and hold till the end of the season.
Jules?
Yeah, so like I mentioned, Xavi Simmons for me, 6.5 million, so not too expensive. Only owned by 2.2% of the manager, so a massive differential, really. And it felt that I'm hoping for him, for Spurs, for Sam, that game against Brighton was a bit of a turning point in his own performances. I think he's better when he comes off the left inside a little bit, as we saw on his goal and on the assist for Pedro Porro. So hopefully he will lead Spurs again to a famous victory on Saturday.
Gosh, I never thought I'd hear Jules say that on this podcast.
Saturday.
Hopefully Spurs will win. He's basically just said that.
Yeah.
Okay, transfers and captains. We're all going Bruno. We're boring as hell, aren't we?
I might not.
Oh yeah, you said you might go Salah.
It's one opportunity. This is likely to be the last time I ever own Salah in FPL.
There's no room for nostalgia in FPL.
Exactly. No sentiment in this game.
He's in good form. He's playing really well.
Is he?
Yeah.
He's going to be my vice, to be fair.
He is.
Well, I saw him last week against PSG. He was not playing well.
Yeah, but that was against PSG. You're quite good.
Yeah, true.
So, you know.
Okay.
I hope for you.
I am thinking about going different. But then I think I'm thinking about going different because this week feels like a real opportunity to move the dial with the free hit because a lot of managers free hitted this week, had a massive rank rise going into this one coming up. So if I can do that again with the free hit by taking on some differentials, what I can't decide is whether it's worth taking on Bruno Fernandes because otherwise Monday night's going to be hell because it's the final game of the game week. If Salah hasn't returned massive, I'm going to go into Monday night's fixture with Brentford and Manchester United in an absolute panic. But I am tempted.
Is Salah the next best option? Jules clearly doesn't think so. Jules, who would your next best option be after Bruno?
I'm not too sure about Salah. I hope so because he's been the FPL king, really. And this is the last. We have him for only 5 games left. So let's enjoy him as much as we can. And if he can return as a captain, then good for everybody who would captain. I think Bruno is the outstanding pick for me, really, more than anybody else. If you want to go for a Liverpool asset, apart from Salah, Szoboszlai, Virgil, maybe. I mean, if you're really crazy, go for Xavi Simmons, Spurs away at Wolves. Obviously, I mean, that is really pure FPL 2025-2026. But yeah, I think Bruno has to be the outstanding candidate for me.
Okay, well, that's where we will end this podcast. And a reminder, it's a Friday night deadline, 6:30 p.m, 90 minutes ahead of Sunderland versus Forest. And I'm going to say this as someone that nearly didn't activate a chip themselves despite telling everyone on multiple platforms last week to do it. Make sure you activate your chip. Make sure you check for the deadline because otherwise you have to wait quite... honestly, it was the longest 90 minutes of my life while I waited for that game to upload. Oscar and Harry will be back on off the bench next week to run us through all the action from blank game week 34. The Fantasy Show is back on Friday. Is in the studio with me. Good luck, guys. Gonna be a good one. Bye.